club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
And then there were four.
Foran then gets it away to Turbo Tommy, and Tommy Trbojevic goes over. Too good.
I've just been impressed with the way the Roosters have just sort of showed up for each other the whole time. So I thought they were very brave tonight. And we played with good physicality. We're going to need that against the South side next week.
But that's the ball game. Full time, Manly 42, Roosters 6.
That's the overwhelming feeling. Disappointment tonight, but absolute honour in the way that they've worn the jersey this year.
It's a high kick up from Moses. That's a beauty. It's wobbling. Edward lets it bounce. Bounces straight up in the air. Michael Blake takes it and scores. That was a kick that just mesmerised the Penrith fullback.
Trying to make the game faster. How many stoppages was there tonight? How many when we were starting to get on top? That's right. I'm proud of the boys. We'll just get on with it and we'll go again next year. No, no. We had our chances.
Comes out to Cleary, puts in a grubber. But it's taken by Capel and he gets over. Penrith, hang on by the skin of their teeth. They are celebrating in the coach's box. They are off to the prelim final.
Where would you suggest they're at?
We're in a prelim. That's where we're at. Against the reigning premiers. I mean, where else would you rather be?
A very happy Ivan Cleary. Season over for the Roosters. Season over for the Parramatta Eels. Down to four teams, MJ.
Yeah, you're right. Goodbye, Roosters. Goodbye, Eels. But two contrasting finals we saw on the weekend. Friday night's game was a one-way traffic. Manly were just too good for a Roosters team that had kind of hit the wall. But look, Saturday's gripping, unbelievable game. What a game. It was just on the edge of your seat stuff. It's the best 8-6 game that I think I've ever seen in my life. I think it's the game of the year. That's the one that I've been most into. I didn't move off my lounge at home for 1 second. Half time, I went and done what I had to do, but it was just amazing. And that's get some more drinks out of the fridge.
We are going to break that game down. Speaking of Manly, our very own Ryan Girdler. Whew. He has tipped in on his beloved Northern Beaches. We're going to get to the comment teammate over the
ruthless.
Hasn't he wound up? But first,
what's cracking?
8-6 was the final score as the Penrith Panthers kept their season alive, set up a prelim final clash with the Melbourne Storm this Saturday afternoon. Season came to a close for the Parramatta Eels, however, and MG, you said in the opener, it was gripping. It almost felt a bit like a soccer game at times in that there was just so much play but so little scoring.
Such intense defence. Both teams, big pat on your back. You were fantastic in defence. Yeah, Penrith only scored, they only scored 14 points in 2 weeks. But they were, both these teams defended like their lives depended on it. Mm. And both kicks were from, both tries were from kicks. So their defensive patterns and techniques were just, every hit from the first minute to the 79th minute were, they meant something. There was a couple of little brouhahas, there was emotion, there was, the couple of times I know that, we're going to listen to Brad Arthur's comments in a sec, but I agree with him on a couple of them. And I think Penrith were lucky not to see Jerome Luai in the sin bin for grabbing Mitch Moses in that foray down the right-hand side. But as Brad Arthur you hear from, he's not in the blame game, which I really admire.
Well, this is the talking point out of the game. The 78th minute, Parramatta has the ball. They're on the attack. They're probably inside the 20. Three tackles down, and all of a sudden the game is stopped because Penrith trainer Pete Green has signalled to the touchy. Mitch Kenny is down in back play. Ashley Klein stops the game, and all the momentum is taken out of the Eagles' attack. Now, this is what Brad Arthur had to say after the game in the post-match press conference.
Well, there's been a bit of complaining over the last couple of weeks, and they got what they were after from the back of the wingin. Trying to make the game faster. How many stoppages was there tonight? How many? When we were starting to get on top, there was a lot. Bunker gets involved with 7-2 penalty count. Bunker gets involved for what reasons? But then we kick down, we make the line break out of the backfield, we get down there. Will Penasini gets tackled off the ball. Mitchell Moses running down there to chase and gets tackled in the background off the ball.
Do you think that Ivan's comments throughout the week in the lead-up to this game and the lead-up to the Bunnies game had an impact on what happened tonight?
Oh, it might have helped them tonight.
Yeah, I've got no doubt that things that get played out in the media obviously find their way on the footy field. And I agree with him. I think that, you know, they were lucky. I don't think that's the reason they lost the game, but I just think it was one of them gripping encounters. It was, look, the trainer running on the field is a blight in the game. We're all so scared and so protective of HIAs that as soon as somebody hurts their ankle, we're calling the game to be stopped. That is so unsatisfactory, it's not funny. We can't turn into that game. We can't turn into the game that as soon as a player's down, the trainer dictates the proceeds, dictates what's happening in the game. We just can't become that game, and that's what we saw. We can't have trainers coming on because we've put all our trust in these trainers, and what they're doing now, the trainers are playing the gamesmanship angle about it, because what they're doing is they could see it, what's happening, you know. Unless a bloke gets hit in the head and he's down, you know, he's obviously been hit in the head and concussed, we shouldn't stop the game for anything. Look, I remember last year we stopped the game once for a bloke had cramps. Like, come on. You can't be doing that. You can't be jumping at shadows about injuries. We're playing a contact sport. You can't have a trainer dictating terms on the outcome of the game. But, and again, I'm not saying that he's dictated the terms, but the referee, the touch judges in the bunker amongst the four or five of them, how many are in the bunker, they've got to be better than this. Mm. We can't keep saying every time a trainer runs on the field, stop the game. We can't do that. It's not in the fabric of what we are.
People might say, well, if they're found to be influencing the game for tactical reasons rather than medical reasons, should we punish them? The punishment matters naught, because the fact is Penrith are into a prelim final, Parramatta's season is over. Now,
and every club does it.
The concern, Peter Green, this Penrith trainer, was issued, or Panthers were issued, a show cause notice for Pete Green doing a very similar thing back in round 14 when he stopped the Panthers game against, or he called for the game to be stopped against the Sharks. Billy Kickow had an ankle concern. Same thing. And if we've learned anything from KO, the Wild West Tales from Tiger Town, we have seen Madge Maguire yelling in the coach's box, get out there and stop the game. That the coaches will use, and you can't blame the coaches for this.
No, because it's in the rules at the moment. It's not illegal.
If we know, if you create a loophole, no matter how small, the coaches will find it and exploit it.
Exactly.
For mine, the referee needs to be stronger there in allowing the game to play on. Disadvantage the team with the ball.
This is what should happen. The touch judge on this side should say into his microphone to the referee, there's a player down at the back, I'm running on to see what it is. I'm running on to see if it's anything head-related. As soon as he saw it was an ankle, he said to the referee, play on, there's nothing wrong here. The two touch judges should be policing that. At the moment, they're doing nothing to touch judges. They're just running up and down
flag
the sideline.
Flag carriers.
Well, come on, boys. This is the perfect instance to bring in the touch judge who is doing nothing on that side to say to the referee, mate, there's someone down at the back. You keep on with the play where you are. I'm going to find out what's going on, and I'll signal you as soon as I know.
At the moment, the game has given the trainers the power to stop a game, and seeing now that it is impacting finals, and that is not what the NRL would have wanted when they implemented the policy. So
not now, not ever.
Not now, not ever. All right, the rush hour is thanks to the Mitsubishi Triton. Oh,
yeah.
Tell you what, engineered to deliver power performance. 5-star safety, towing, and the latest technology. It's one tough ute that nothing can frighten. I'll tell you what, I reckon you put the Mitsubishi Triton out there on Saturday night in Mackay, it would have had a tough job getting through the line of these defensive teams, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think both Angus and Stephen had a bit of trouble with the old Crichton fighting Tritons.
Over 40 years, Mitsubishi Triton's been doing its
thing.
Speaks
for themselves,
doesn't
it,
really? Go and see your Mitsubishi dealer today. Your Panthers, MG. Let's get indulgent. Let's drill in.
Let's drill down, baby.
8-6. And the scenes in that Panthers coach's box after the game showed how important this was. Not just because they won and not just because they won step. There was almost a release of pressure from Ivan and his assistants. You could see it.
Well, they're one game closer to their dream of winning a competition. And, you know, if you want to win a comp, you've got to beat Melbourne at some stage. So why not in the prelim? Well, I think that's their rationale at the moment, that they get through Parramatta, well, they give themselves a good chance to beat Melbourne. And that was a really, really intense game. How they come up after that is going to be interesting to see, because I know that it was Billy Kiko had a really major laceration to his knee, kind of like Cam Munster did a couple of weeks back. Mitch Kenny with his ankle injury, if he's in doubt, well, you know, they've got to have someone who can maybe Coruscant can play 80 minutes, maybe put Tyro May back on the bench. I'm not sure. But the concerns are that that first try they scored was when Dill Edwards let the ball bounce. You can't win big games.
That was a horrible kick.
It wasn't that horrible.
That was a
kick.
Nightmare of a kick.
But that's a fullback's job, mate. That's what they're there for. That's what you get paid the big money for. You can't let it bounce. You got to dive and at least get a hand to it. You can't let a ball not. You can't touch a ball within your own 10-meter mark and let it bounce. That's what happened. And from that moment, I thought, okay, here we go. Parramatta are on. Penrith fought back again with another little try for the real kick with Capewell. And then it was just an arm wrestle. Penrith, look, I think there was an improvement on the game against South Sydney. I think both South Sydney and Parramatta have done their homework big time on Penrith, and they realised that if you stop and kick our charges, that stops a lot of their momentum. Around the ruck area, they didn't look as slick as they usually do, the Panthers. Long season where they've had seven players play Origin footy. Now, I think they were so desperate for that week off against South Sydney, but now that's backfired on them. Now it's kind of grip on. Now it's hang on for life and let's just go. Let's throw everything we've got at Melbourne, because we've got nothing to lose. No one thinks we're going to beat them, so let's just throw everything at them.
That's a really interesting point about the state of Origin representatives, because this time last year, I mean, Cleary was involved and Yo was involved, but Martin wasn't a part of it. To'o wasn't a part of it. Lua wasn't a part of it. Crichton, I think Crichton was in camp.
Coruscant
wasn't a part of it. All of a sudden, the miles on the engine, or the, you know, how many clicks they've got in their feet and in their legs is adding up. And I thought Fisher Harris, I mean, he was better than he was last week, but he still wasn't the Fisher Harris that we've seen during the season.
No, he wasn't. And he's got to find that form quickly, because they need it this Saturday against the best team in the competition. I thought Moses Leota was good when he on comeback. I thought, look, they tried their guts out. That's all you can ask as a supporter of them. You know, I felt for Parramatta. I felt for the Parra fans. I could imagine if the shoe was on the other foot, there'd be the same type of narrative today. There'd be Penrith blowing up about why wasn't Mitch Moses Simbin for grabbing Luai on the kick, and vice versa. So look,
tell me where your belief is at right now.
Oh, look, I'm a realist. I'm a dead set realist. I think Penrith will win, but I'm not betting my house on it. I know that the best team in the last decade waits for them in a prelim final, that they've got a really good record when it comes to this, and they've had a week off, which they've got no injuries. They're full strength. Penrith have just come off two really intense defensive games against South Sydney and Parramatta, where Melbourne are a different kettle of fish. My belief is that they've got to throw, as I just said, they've got to think outside the box against Melbourne. They've got to try and unsettle Melbourne's middle. They've got to try and maybe kick early and big chase down, because Addo Carr's back now. Him and Brandon Smith are both fit, which is a big in for Melbourne Storm. Mm. So they're full strength. So now get ready for the avalanche. It's gonna come.
Just quick,
you just got to hold it on.
Before we walk away, before we leave your Panthers for a bit, take us inside what it's going to be like recovering from a game like that. Because that seemed intense, and it feels like that sort of game is going to take 24 hours, 48 hours longer than another game to recover from.
Yeah, well, luckily they play exactly 7 days later than, you know, the Friday night game. Lucky it is that, because they'll need every day to recoup. Brutal. It's brutal. It's a rugby league's the most brutal game. That's why we love it. That's why the TV ratings are 28% up on this time last year. We just love seeing it. We love it, and the players love it, and the whole soap opera that is rugby league, we love it. You know, everyone's got their opinion today in different publications of newspapers, on different sport websites. Everyone's got their different opinions. And most of them opinions are that Penrith are gone. Most of them opinions are that Penrith can't beat Melbourne. Well, guess what? There's one team thinking they can. And on Saturday, at 4 p.m. when it kicks off, or by Saturday at 6 p.m. we'll know whether Penrith have or not.
Oh, he's tearing open his shirt to reveal the Panther tattoo emblazoned over where his heart is. MG is pumped up for his Penrith Panthers.
Thanks to Harvey Norman. Don't miss a minute of the footy finals action with great deals on Philips TVs.
The finals are here at last.
The Triple M Rush Hours. Telly. Thon.
This is it, MG. We have got TVs burning a hole in our pockets.
Oh, yeah.
In our TV-sized pockets.
Not just TVs, mate. They're more than TVs, aren't they?
They are. They are, thanks to Harvey Norman. They are 65-inch Philips 4K TVs. You don't want to miss a minute of the action this finals footy with great deals on Philips TV. New South Wales people, we can't get to the footy because it's all up in Queensland. So we and Harvey Norman are giving you the chance to take home one of these awesome Philips TVs. And you just got to know your footy. You just got to know your finals footy moments.
That's exactly right. That's Dean from Lake Heights. Dino, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Good afternoon, gents. I'm very well.
Are you ready to win a 65-inch bells and whistles TV, baby?
I'm ready as I'll ever be, fellas.
All right, Dino, all you need to do, we're going to play you a moment. And you've got to tell us what finals moment from rugby league this is. Here you go, Dino. It's tough. They're good TVs, Dean.
Niuasala has fallen on the ball. What final was that from?
I don't know. Let's go 2016.
Unfortunately not, Dino. We bring in next contestant.
Carl from Belmont. Carl, how are you, my man?
Yeah, good.
This Liam's is getting play difficult. Some audio. We'll see if we can improve the audio a little bit more. Here we go, Carl. What finals moment is this?
A long range shot from Anesta.
He's got it!
Oh, what a kick! He got a kick! Anesta has nailed it!
Oh, it's gotten pretty easy there, Carl.
Hmm.
Ooh, I don't know. 2012?
It wasn't, Carl.
Damien Wattlegrove. Hey, Damo.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Come on, mate. We want to give this TV away. Tell us what this final moment was.
Wouldn't be the 2010 tank.
Yeah! Damo and Wattlegrove, you've got the bells and whistles TV, baby. Thanks to Harvey Norman.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Damo, a 65-inch 4K TV coming your way to watch all the finals action on.
Unbelievable.
Mate, how good. Congratulations. You'll be watching the prelim finals and the grand final in absolute style. Thank you for being part of the Rush Hours Telethon.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening, brother. And that was Roosters v Tigers in 2010, as Damo mentioned. But, wow, yeah. So tomorrow, we're going to give another one away.
That's it. Yeah, that's how the game works. It's difficult. It can't be easy to give these TVs away, MG, but we've got four more of them to dish out this week, all thanks to Harvey Norman. Don't miss a minute of the action this footy finals with great deals on Philips TVs. Four teams left in the hunt for the premiership this year, MG, but one team that's been out of it for a while now, the West Tigers, is still in the headlines because today is apparently D-Day Michael Maguire. Brent Reid on Reedy's Mail Monday morning edition had this to say.
Today is D-Day. There's a board meeting this afternoon, late this afternoon, where recommendations will come back from the review that was done from the football committee, and then the board will make their decision. I think they want to end it quickly. I think they want to resolve it. And my sense is that Michael's, sadly, he's a guy I really respect and like, my sense is that perhaps he's coached his last game for the club.
Yeah, that'd be sad if it is. I've chopped and changed along the way of this ongoing saga, which just quietly, I think most NRL fans are way over. We should be concentrating on these unbelievable finals approaching this weekend, but still the Michael Maguire saga just keeps on going on, and it's not good for anyone. I hope they resolve it today, one way or the other, because I don't know who, if Cameron Serrato doesn't want it, it's probably going to look at someone from overseas, one of the English coaches who are coaching Super League at the moment. So,
Christian Wolf, I think, is a name that keeps getting thrown around.
Tongan's coach. Look, I feel for any coach, any player that gets told that their time is no longer wanted. But unfortunately, that's the nature of this game. There is no certainty. The only certainty is that you're results driven, and if you don't get the results, well, you're driven out of the game.
My concern now for the West Tigers is, frankly, how can they keep Madge on? I like Madge.
It's almost untenable.
Whenever we've had Madge on, He's honest. He's forthright. Yep. He's willing to come on the show. We love having Madge as a part of the NRL coaching ranks. But how can they possibly keep him on with everything that has gone under the, you know, everything that's passed by up until this point?
Well, they almost can't. You got to think that this has all come from Tim Sheens's review of the situation. He's compiled what he thinks to be a case against Michael Maguire. If you're reading from the outside looking in, or you're reading between the lines, and I agree with you. It's almost untenable. You can't have a guy who's whose job is so up in the air that then all of a sudden you go, oh, no, we're going to keep him, and then all the players who aren't fans of him go, oh, Jesus, I thought we were going to have a fresh start.
You start again, the whole thing, and we go through this whole circus again next year at the West Tigers. And I know we had Lee Hadjipatelis, the chairman, on a couple of weeks back and spoke glowingly about everything the club is doing off the field and the successes they are having. And I've got no doubt that they are having a great run and they're in a fantastic position off the field. But football clubs in any sport, sporting organisations,
you need to win.
They exist to win the sport that they participate in. You know, AFL, well, EPL, NRL, NFL, all these clubs, they judge their success based on premierships.
Yep.
And continually, the West Tigers, because of this seeming discontent that's existing, aren't putting themselves in a position to win premierships.
Well, they haven't played finals footy for 10 years. I mean, that's the glowing... The glowing sticking finger. This is 10 years without even tasting semi-final footy. Like, come on. Every team should play in finals at least every two or three seasons. That's how you bounce back. But they haven't bounced back at all. They've come. I think they came ninth on his first watch, 11th, and now 13th. So, look, I think I'm with Reedy. I think that the longer this goes on, the less likely Madge is of acquiring another contract, but. But then the answer is, then who's next? You know, who's next? And do they get the total blessing of all those that are, you know, obviously Tim Sheen's going to play a massive role in who the next coach is because he'll like to work alongside of him. And I'm not sure whether he thinks he can with Madge Maguire. So watch this space. And finally, hopefully this is watching this space for the last time this afternoon.
Oh, I'm ready to stop watching this space. I've had enough of this space. I'd like to leave this space. I'd like to fill this space so it's no longer a space, so we no longer have to watch this space.
There you go, Space Invaders.
I've had enough of space. I want this space jammed. Right. This space can get jammed, I think is my point. MG, would be remiss of us not to mention the Anthony Milford story, which is broken today. Peter Bedell from the Courier-Mail tweeting this morning that Queensland police have confirmed Broncos star Anthony Milford has been charged with 3 counts of assault, occasioning bodily harm. Milford will join South Sydney next year and will appear on court October 20th. The NRL...
Will he?
That's a good point. Well, he'll definitely appear in court. Whether he joins now is up for debate. The NRL Integrity Unit will obviously be investigating. The NRL's no-fault stand-down policy could come into effect. Wow. The Broncos have washed their hands of it. They've essentially said, well...
not our problem. How quick were they to do that? Not our problem.
Couldn't have done it faster. Well, he's technically contracted them till the end of next month.
Yeah, to the end of October.
But their argument is that he's on leave and he's set to join another club, so they won't be commenting on it. It's a legal matter. Disappointing.
They're the black eye for the game. We don't need...
Vast majority of players continue to do the right thing, and yet the reputation of all is tarnished by a small few. Anyway, let's move on. Now, speaking of reputations being tarnished, MG, what about our friendly, mild-mannered Ryan Girdler just pulling out the big stick on the Saturday scrum? Here's what he had to say about the Manly Warringah Seagulls.
Yeah, look, they had some really good performances last night by some individuals, Tone, but I'm not buying it. Not buying the whole Manly path.
Uh-oh.
Look, I just think they're flat-track
bullies.
Don't
bump into him at Girdler's groin.
Manly, they haven't beaten anyone in that top echelon of teams so far this year. If you look at their last 6 or 7 weeks, their run-in was all against bottom sides, and they built a little bit of momentum, and they came up against the side in a semi-final, and the chips were down. They absolutely got torn apart by Melbourne. Now, they came up against a side last night that's been decimated over the last 6 months. They're a good side when they haven't got a lot of resistance, but I can't believe Manly are one game away with the season they've had from playing in a grand final.
Oh.
Yeah, we didn't miss, and I...
He lives there too.
And to a certain degree, I agree with him as far as, you know, they haven't really beaten play like. But this is a, I said, as I said to Gerge on Saturday when he said that, I said, but the semi-finals is a different kettle of fish altogether. Once we play our season proper, we stop, we regroup, and then we play another competition. That's called finals footy, and you can only play what's in front of you. As we said about the Roosters earlier on, you know, that Manly come back with a vengeance. Manly bounce back with. They are the most dangerous side in the competition when they're on, because they've got strike power everywhere, and it's just not physically capable of stopping Tommy Turbo with one or two players. You need three or four on him. So,
well,
Gerds is entitled to his opinion, and I admire him for saying what he said, especially when he lives in Manly.
Yeah, I believe Gerds is going to come on later this week, and the early messages are that he might be doubling down. He might have done a bit more research and armed himself to go again. So,
okay, well, that's his prerogative. That well, is his prerogative.
MJ, with that in mind, then let me ask you one of these.
Triple M rocks the footy, and this is the burning question.
Very simple. Are the Manly Sea Eagles flat track bullies?
No, I don't think they are. I don't think they are because of where they've come from and where they are now. They've had to dig deep. They've had to dig deep to finish fourth on the ladder. Their first four games of the season, they were 0-4. They beat the New Zealand Warriors 13-12 in round five with a field goal, and then they came back with Tommy come back in round six. So for them to get the fourth spot on the ladder, they've had to put all their eggs in one basket. They've had to exert themselves. That last game against Cowboys, they had to really – who your Cowboys won the week before. Yeah, sure, they're down the bottom. But Manly had to really exert to get themselves into the top four. They got there. Their prize for making fourth was to play Melbourne in week one. I dare say that most teams would have been blown away from Melbourne in week one the way they played. They played the perfect game of rugby league. Manly regrouped. They went back to the drawing board and said, okay, we're playing a Roosters side who are very desperate. We're going to have to find something else. And they went out and done exactly what they've been doing for the last 2 months. They got their kicking game going, a really good kicking game by DCE. They got their big chasing going. And then the Roosters didn't do as much homework on Tom Trbojevic as the Storm did, because he got the ball midfield seven times out of ten for the kicks, and he had a lot of space to give to Saab and to Garrick, and that's what Melbourne stopped. They stopped all that. So
in the Roosters' defence, all their pencils are broken as well.
They've had to retire their pens, and their pencils are broken.
They've run out of stationery.
And liquid paper. They've got no more of that left either. But like, look, flat track bullies, that's a big call. Any team that's in the final four of the competition, especially given the season that I would say that these four teams that are left, not only have they been the best four teams all season, but they've been the best teams that have equipped themselves best in the move to Queensland.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think you've got to give everyone who gets this far a big pat in the back. But I'll take Gerge's point. The facts are there, and I'm sure Gerge will come up with who they've played and how they've played them. But finals footy, you've got to. We'll find out this weekend. If they beat South Sydney in a prelim final and make their way to the grand final, well, then we're barking up another tree, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I think Ryan Girdler might be counting his coffee sales, seeing how his comments from Saturday have impacted sales at his Northern Beaches cafes. And on Wednesday, he's going to come in, and if the sales have still been good, I reckon he might go again. And if they've been not so good, he might walk back those comments about Manly. So, we got to get out of here. Team List Tuesday tomorrow, and we're going to start putting the finals focus on these four remaining teams.
As always, thank you so much for your ears. That was a busy Monday. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.